It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll find out why a state business group says it's time to pick a new slogan for Wisconsin license plates.
First, Marathon County could become the latest Wisconsin county to join a lawsuit targeting pharmaceutical companies for their role in the opioid crisis. Several states around the country, including Ohio and Pennsylvania, have started filing similar suits.
But our next guest says that the state and local governments could face an uphill legal battle when they take on drug companies.
Carl Tobias joins us now. He's the Williams Chair in Law for the University of Richmond School of Law. Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, what are your thoughts on the prospects for these lawsuits, local governments suing big drug manufacturers for popularizing, overselling, they're saying, these opioid medications?
Well, I think there's no question that there's a crisis around the country, and it's worse in certain parts of the country than others, and that it's extremely costly in terms of human lives, in terms of children, in terms of society. And so that's not in question. The questions are many because I don't think anyone has seen a case through all the way through the system, and most of them have just started. And it's a sort of cutting-edge area of the law, and the legal theories are not entirely clear. And so that's what makes it difficult to know whether they'll be able to impose civil liability, which I think they're trying to do, and then what the damages might be if a judge or jury were convinced that the counties and cities and states should be awarded damages.
Are there comparable cases in the past with local or state governments banding together to sue big industries like this?
Yes, there have been a number of different efforts. Guns are one area, but also the tobacco litigation, I think, is looked at as the most important and perhaps relevant precedent from really the 80s and 90s, which ultimately resulted in a global settlement that's, you know, still ongoing.
What are the key differences between that tobacco case and this opioid case?
Well, the industry is different. Here it's, I think, mostly the pharmaceutical industry. And the questions of marketing are somewhat similar, but in this situation, you're talking about circumstances typically where there's a doctor who prescribes and knows the patient and perhaps prescribes the opioids for a particular patient for particular circumstances. And so that makes it somewhat different, though there are some similarities. For example, I think it's pretty clear that cigarettes and tobacco were over-promoted by the industry, and I think that's the same claim that's being made here, that pharmaceutical companies over-promoted use of opioids and also understated the risk. And I think that's somewhat similar to cigarettes and tobacco products. So there are some similarities, but there are also maybe some differences.
One difference seems to be these are medications regulated by the FDA. They set guidelines on how these drugs could be sold, prescribed, distributed. Does that take some of the responsibility away in a legal sense from these companies?
Perhaps, but not necessarily. Of course, today tobacco is regulated by the FDA, but of course that was done by Congress. But I think that's a well-taken point, that it's possible that the companies will say, well, FDA approved, you know, this product, and that means it's okay. But at best, that's kind of a minimum floor. And that's apart from the allegation about over-promoting or perhaps fraud. The addictive qualities of opioids and all of those problems that have arisen, I think, you know, when you understate those, that is serious and could lead to liability and has in other areas.
We're talking to Carl Tobias, law professor at the University of Richmond, looking at local government and state government lawsuits targeting drug manufacturers over their role in the opioid crisis. A couple of Wisconsin counties are considering joining that. Carl, how important is it to prove, I guess, bad intent on the part of the industry? Does there have to be a smoking gun type of document that says, hey, these drug companies knew these medications were more addictive than they were telling the public?
Well, that would be valuable if it were the case, and there may be such documents. And part of what's going on is to see what I think can be found in discovery once that starts in these pieces of litigation around the country. And that would make a much stronger case. But I think that there'll be some information that's pretty readily available in terms of what kind of advertising was done, how did the detail people who, you know, often go and visit doctors, encourage doctors to move forward with prescriptions of opioids. And so there probably are many medical professionals who could testify as to the over promotion, and you could also look at, you know, how the use has ballooned in many places. So it may not be that difficult to show.
As I understand it, a lot of the local governments getting into this kind of lawsuit, it's not their, you know, their counsel, their legal counsel for the city or the county. This is a private law firm or group of lawyers coming around to local government saying, hey, sign on to our lawsuit with other municipalities and counties. Does that matter once it hits the courts, the different method?
I don't think so. We have a fairly long tradition in this country of lawyers outside government helping governments to bring litigation. It very frequently happens with the attorneys general's offices, even though they have a fairly large staff in most states. You may need that very specialized expertise in a particular area, and my guess is that the firms that are trying to do this work do build that expertise pretty quickly, and it's hard to staff up within, say, an attorney general's office or a county, which may have several, you know, lawyers, or smaller cities, just may not have either the resources or the expertise that someone who works on this kind of issue all the time might bring to bear.
I wanted to ask about standing, which is whether or not the person or entity filing the lawsuit has the legitimate standing to be bringing it to court. It looks like these local governments are saying this opioid epidemic, it's driving up our costs in our city or county or state. We're having to do more law enforcement, administering anti-overdose drugs, that kind of thing. Is that enough in a court setting to get standing?
Well, I think it can be, but you're correct. It's a technical hurdle that you have to overcome in this context. And I expect the companies, defendants, will vigorously dispute that there is standing. But typically, you have to show that you have an interest and that interest has been harmed. What you were talking about a minute ago, I think, would be sufficient, though it will be contested.
Looking at responsibility for the opioid epidemic, we've been talking about this a lot, and there are a lot of different pieces to this puzzle. You mentioned the doctors who prescribe. There's this big report on the distributors from 60 Minutes and Washington Post. We talked about that yesterday. There's the manufacturers themselves. There's government regulators. And then, of course, there's the illegal side of heroin and other opioids. Is it going to be easy for cities and counties to say, hey, these companies, these manufacturers in particular, bear a significant amount of that responsibility?
Well, that's tricky. I mean, how you divide up that responsibility, and you're correct, there are many individuals and entities that probably play some role there. I think one of the most difficult parts is there typically is a prescribing physician with an individual patient or patients. And traditionally, in a number of states, the law requires basically that the warnings and information and promotion go to the doctor, not directly to the patient. and we something called the learned intermediary rule, and that may come into play, though it's not entirely clear that that would govern here. But typically that has helped the companies defend themselves in that situation, putting more responsibility on the doctor.
And Carl, as we wrap up, as you mentioned earlier, this is in its earliest stages. How long would something like this take to move through the courts?
Well, it just depends on how complicated it turns out to be. Maybe if one county or a small number of counties is suing in Wisconsin, maybe it wouldn't be so onerous in terms of time. But I think you would have to, you know, have some discovery and pretrial litigation. So it could take a year to two and maybe as much as three.
Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Carl Tobias, professor at the University of Richmond School of Law. He joined us to talk about the growing number of local governments and states that are suing pharmaceutical manufacturers over their role in the nationwide opioid crisis.
Coming up, we'll hear why there's some buzz around the idea of getting rid of the slogan America's Dairyland on Wisconsin license plates. And we want to hear what you think. You can call up with your ideas for a new slogan at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Stay with us here on Central Time.